And this morning's seminar, it's really a workshop, is going to be called Singing in the Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And thank you for coming to learn about more about singing in the Spirit. Now, I know that's not a normal topic that you may think that someone can get up and teach about, but I'm going to give you some foundation here and give you some words so that you can at least know that I'm not crazy. I am full of the Holy Ghost. He does lead and guide me. I do listen to him, do my best, just like you, to hear what he's saying. And this is what he's placed on my heart, singing in the Spirit. You know, worship these days, I mean, it has changed over the years, and you guys are part of seeing some of that change from traditional kind of song services, is what we call them, to entering into the presence of the Lord, something that I think in our mindset and our hearts we didn't think could happen, that we could actually be in communion with God, our Father, the one who has destined us, taken over us, taken control of us, filled us with his precious Holy Spirit, and given us a destiny in life, a ministry to look forward to and to do. And so worship has changed because of our learning more about our relationship that we have with God, our personal relationship that we have with him. Things have changed, and we've been wanting to experience him more. He's been wanting us to experience him more. He's been wanting us to do more things, I think, and understand more things about him in the spirit realm. But you got to be connected, right? All of you I know have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you're filled to overflowing. Amen? Because you're looking at me with those dead looks. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? You all are, this is a spirit-filled church, right? Yeah. We do know about the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. All right, I'm not going to freak you out too much. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise and magnify your name. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come before you this morning in worship and in praise to glorify your name. So we thank you, Lord, that this word that you've given us placed in our hearts that you do, Father, deal it out, Father God, distribute it among those here who are willing to hear these things, oh God, that you have taught us and desire, Father, for us to move closer to you. We know, Father, your word says that those who hunger and thirst after you, Lord God, shall be filled. We also know, Father, you said if we ask, we shall receive. We seek, we will find. If we knock, you will open the door to us. We thank you, Lord God, that we seek, Father God, to understanding more about singing in the Spirit. Open our hearts and minds this morning and teach us more about you. I hope you are ready to just get a little bit more understanding. And I want, you know, this is a workshop, like I said, so I'm going to ask you to help me in this demonstration of the Spirit of God. All right? All right, we're going to learn some practical things about singing in the Spirit or singing with the Spirit. And you know, we can describe it different ways. Some people call it, you know, we can sing with our understanding. When we sing in a song, we have words that we understand and know. And then there are singing in other tongues. And we also call that singing in the Spirit. Some people say, well, when you sing a song and, you know the words to the song, how is that singing in the Spirit? Well, you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? You're filled. So when you open your mouth to sing, you are singing in the Spirit. You know it was that simple, did you? You thought, well, I'm going to take you a little further on this road because I know you want to go deeper into that where we do sing in other tongues. Now, let me ask a question, and I'm just asking it so that you can ask yourselves because I don't want to take you too far down the road. We are a spirit-filled church. Therefore, we are we rely on the Spirit of God to baptize us in his Spirit, fill us up with himself, possess us, if you want to put it in normal layman terms that sometimes you don't hear a lot about. His Spirit comes there. We know God to be a spirit, a supernatural being, and he comes alongside us, and he puts something in us, right? The Bible tells us, and let me go to my scripture here. There's some things that we need to understand, some foundations that I'm going to lay right here to before we get to understanding singing in the Spirit. One of those things we must understand is that we are born again. Amen? Romans 10, 9, and 10 kind of spells that out, what we actually did, kind of what happened to us. Almost so simple a thing for such a great thing to happen to us, to bring us salvation. God says, this is what you need to do. I'm going to be reading out of, I have a parallel Bible, so I've got the King James and I've got the Amplified. So I may be reading out of both of them at one time or another, okay? All right, this is not a long message. In Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Almost all of us in this room have prayed a prayer, a salvation prayer, and God has saved us, we say that. But actually, we have become born again. Amen? I know that may not like that spiritual term or that jargon that I'm using, but I want to use it because I want to affect you in the way that you realize that we have changed from one place that we were to another. We have become changed. And I know some of you probably don't really want to believe that, but let's go. Let me read it in the Amplified. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, how many of you have done that? And in your heart, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's a shouting spot right there. You know, you all should have been on your feet yelling and screaming, saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But we understand. We're in Sunday church this morning. Can't do it out of that. So verse 10 explains verse 9. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And some of you, these are familiar scriptures to some of us when we are helping others to believe in God and what has taken place in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Right? We've been born again. God has created us a new creation, a new creature. So some of you may say, well, what do you mean by that? I look the same. I look in the mirror and I still got the same, you know, no hair and buck teeth and got to wear glasses and, you know, whatever. My clothes didn't change. I still put on the same way I put on before. But somehow a change has occurred. Amen? And we know that change to be deep in us, that something has happened. I put it like this. I want to's change. Right? I used to want to go party and drink and smoke and, you know, hang out with girls all the time. But now I want to party and drink with Jesus and hang out with him all the time. Oh, man, I don't want to mess your theology up. But I want to hang out with him. Change totally, completely. I mean, I want to spend all my time with him. I want to just find out. I want to eat him up. And I know you've had this experience when you first got born again. That's all you wanted to do. Eat the word. You were in there, man, and you were praying. You didn't care if you didn't know, understand what you were reading, but you were doing it. Amen? We became new creatures in Christ. And the more time you spend with him, the more things begin to develop in you and understanding of this new creature in Christ that you've been made. Now, I know that may touch on some of you who may be holding on to some of your old habits and not wanting to let them go. And we know that everybody, I'm not perfect. I got some of those too. I'm still working. God is still working on me like he's working on you. But that doesn't negate or do away with the fact that I'm filled with the Spirit of God and that he has a destiny for me. And if I listen to him, I can move and do those things that he's called me to do. Amen? Signs and wonders can take place through the Spirit of God through me. If I am obedient, he can do that, even though I may not have perfected my life in some areas. And you go, how does he do that? Because he's a forgiving God, amen? He is a God who has mercy and grace. And those terms are very important to us because we need them. Grace giving us the ability to do what we can't do ourselves. And mercy not giving us the penalty that we should have gotten, but God releases us, justifies us. That's what mercy is. You should have got put in jail because you murdered somebody, but God held you He didn't hold it to your account. He didn't hold it to your account. So you must be born again. You must understand this, that this is what God has done. Now, in this same passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians, if you go back to, let's go to verse 11. Therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over to persuade them. But what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. And I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your consciousness, your inborn discernment. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion and an incentive to be rightfully proud of us so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them. For if we are beside ourselves mad, as some say, it is for God and concerns him. If we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. Listen to what Paul's saying here. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him, we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, that's the verse 17, right? He is a new creature or creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It is God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration of his favor. So we're born again, we become new creatures, and God gives us this ministry of reconciliation. Amen? So we must be born again. This ministry of peace and reconciliation is coming from this place where God has changed us, and I guess more to the point, he has made us children of the light. If you turn over to Ephesians 5, we talk about us being children of light. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, follow his example as well-beloved children, imitate their father, walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. Jump down to verse 8. For once you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native-born to the light. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Amen. So we have, as children of light, this ministry of peace, right? We know that, and you may not have noticed or wondered about this, that people see you differently. That we all, our epistles, open epistles, ready to be read by whoever God chooses to show forth his goodness and his good nature, amen? God uses us in that way. It's automatic, it's part of who we are, it's part of our nature. So that other thing we talked about earlier was that we have to be filled with the Spirit. If we keep on down in the same chapter here in Ephesians, in verse 18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody in all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So worship for us is something that can happen at all times and all the time. You're always with God. God is always with you. So anytime you desire or want to, you know, give him glory and praise, you can, because he is right there with you. No need to posture yourself in some instances. You may think that, I need to be on my knees before God, or I need to be in a sanctuary with the rest of God's people in order to begin to worship him, or even to commune with him. And that's just not the case. God is with you because he is in you, and he has changed you and made you part of himself everywhere you go. If you're driving in your car, you can praise him. If you're taking a shower in the morning, you can praise and glorify him, or pray and commune with him. If you're cooking, while you're cooking, if you have children and you're taking care of children, if you're on your job and you're by yourself or whatever you're doing, you can praise and magnify God anywhere you go. Yeah, now you can do that openly with your mouth, of course, with words coming out and voice and sound, or you can do that in commune within your heart and mind, amen? Because God desires for those things to change as well. In John, the third chapter, you know, Jesus came to Nicodemus and he was talking about being born again, and Nicodemus asked the question, how can we be born? You guys know that scripture. And he said, you must be born of the Spirit, born of water, and born of the Spirit. That's what he tells us there in that scripture. I won't go there because I want to get to our demonstration. And there's a lot of scripture that talks about why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. In John, I'll just give you some scripture to write down. John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 and 17, verses 21 and verses 26. Jesus is talking about that he will send the Comforter. The Holy Spirit will come, and he will help and guide and lead us into all truth. That's the reason why we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, some of you may have some issues about the being filled part with the Spirit of God. So all our lives, our bodies have, and it depends on how long you've lived on the earth before you got born again, but your body and your mind has been programmed by natural phenomena, natural things, natural habits. Your body has been trained to do some of those things. And so you want to break free from those, right? God desires to set you free. You know, the Word of God tells us that. And in order sometimes for us to be free of a lot of those things, we need to be controlled, filled with, completely overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, in order to break free from some of those old habits, to have them released from our bodies, have our bodies and our minds shred those previous circumstances from our lives. You need that. I need that. Whether you want it or not is the question, I guess, in some of our minds. Some people don't. They don't understand the Spirit, so they don't want that part of God. And that's up to you. I'm not trying to push them on you right today. I just want to give you some foundation about singing in the Spirit. And I know that some of you desire that. I believe God has heard your cry, and that's why I'm standing here with this message this morning. So the Spirit of Truth, who Jesus said he would send, who he did send in Acts, we see him, the Spirit has come. And now we have opportunity to call on him and be filled with that Spirit. And in the scripture, our foundation scripture, which is this Ephesians verse, he's telling us to be filled with the Spirit and continually be filled. Not just get the baptism of the Holy Spirit once, but continue to be filled. And this is not the message for about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we're talking about having a word-based experience in being filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts, there are, I didn't know it was going this way. There are, I can't remember, 18 or 19 or 20 instances where there are examples of people being filled with the Spirit of God in Acts, the book of Acts. In all but one of those instances, people have been filled with the Spirit and have spoken in other tongues. So if you're talking about having a Bible experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the pattern that we kind of follow, because that's what is most in the Word of God. Not saying that you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues, not saying that, you know, because we know that all kinds of things kind of happen. And I know if everyone were to give their testimony here, it would all be different. Maybe some similarities, but there may be some differences. All right, so now, something else that we must know about God before we begin to sing in the Spirit or understand singing in the Spirit or have this demonstration come forth is that God, Hebrews 12:28, tells us, very simple but powerful scripture. My Bible has become very holy. I'm going to jump to read this scripture. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For God is indeed a consuming fire. God is indeed a consuming fire. Now, when you receive God, and even though we may have any kind of experiences that we know about him, you need to know that the person that you've received is a consuming fire. Now, that's Paul's example of trying to explain God. And we know that Paul had several visions about the throne of God, room of God. But, you know, we also need, you know, grace and mercy to come before God, because he is this awesome being. And as Isaiah talks about, you know, I'm unclean and I can't be in your presence, oh Lord, and he had to have an angel come and touch him on the lips so he could be in God's presence. You know, God's still holy. He's still that God that is above all awesome and overwhelming. When I was first saved, I'd get up in the morning and I would pray to God, and I'd be on my knees or on my face, and I think my mic has gone out. And I had this thought, and the thought was, what happens when we pray? And when I had that thought, something happened to me, okay? And I can't really explain I'm gonna just describe it, you know, but as I was there on my knees, I had that thought, and then I was in another place. I was still on my knees, but I was in another place, and the place that I was in, it was a big place. It wasn't like a vast place, but it was big. Right, and I was looking, since I was praying and my head was down, I was looking at these steps, and they were elongated steps. Like if you took a step up, then you had to take like two more steps before you get to the next step. Okay, and there was like maybe four or five of these steps. And as I kind of raised my head slowly upward, it got to this place where these steps were in like a triangular pattern, and they were kind of moving up this way, and it moved up. I was kind of over to the left of the center, and as I looked up, there was what I would describe as a chair. I later would call it a throne, okay? And there was this being sitting on this throne. And the being that was on the throne was full of light, just full of light. And it was in the shape and form of a man that was sitting on this throne. And I was looking, I was just really trying to figure out what's going on, you know? what is that? what's happening? And inside of me, I heard the words, "You said you wanted to know what happened when you pray." When we pray, we are transported into the throne room where God is. There was no one else there. I was the only one there. And I wondered about that. And as I had that thought, he said, "You are my focus this morning. And when you go, I'm hearing you." This is how God is and how awesome he is. Now, I know there were probably millions of people praying that morning, you know, to God, but he sees each and every one of us as an individual and hears our prayer. Isn't that awesome? That was awesome. Okay, so I'm thinking, this is my interpretation of the throne room of God. This is me, Curtis. This is what I'm seeing. I'm making this up, you know. I said, "Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. Thank you, God, for sharing that with me." As I was about to finish praying, I noticed that there was this rainbow all about around this throne. Just this big giant rainbow. And that really freaked me out. I was like, "Man, you Kurt, what are you doing? You really are tripping there. You got a rainbow. What the heck are you going on?" So anyway, I woke up that morning just excited about the fact that I got a revelation. And that, of course, gave me more unction to what? To want to pray more. And I hope it does for you too. To know that even when I'm in my car driving and I'm praying, I am transported into the throne of God, and he is hearing me specifically, individually, my heart toward whatever it is I'm praying about. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. That was for me. I deliver that to you as a something you may want to think about. In Ezekiel, if you want to turn there, I can't remember whether this was months later after that I had that vision, or if it was years later, I came across this scripture. Ezekiel, I gotta find it, okay, Ezekiel, chapter 1. Old Testament, I guess. Here we go. Here we go. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 27. "From what had the appearance of his waist upward, I saw a luster as if were glowing metal with appearance of fire enclosed around about it, within it. And from the appearance of his waist down, I saw it was the appearance of fire. And there was a brightness of halo around about him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking." From his loins down, he's fire. From his loins up, this is the description. You know, and I thought about this, I wanted to give you a picture of how to see that, because sometimes we don't. So I've seen two things, and I'm going to use television and as a way to get it over to you, a point to you. You guys know about the Fantastic Four, the movie, the Fantastic Four. You seen that movie? I'm a big, big science fiction guy. I love all that kind of stuff. But Fantastic Four. There are four beings, you know, four superheroes. One of the superheroes is Johnny, who is a flame of fire. And when Johnny is in this fire, if you've ever saw the TV, you can't distinguish him in his face, but he is fire from his feet all the way up to his top. And I said, oh, that's how he was looking, right? Now, you guys have seen another movie. What's the name of that movie? Ghost. Yeah. And it's another being who's almost supposed to be like God, but he is this being that is full of light. But he has more distinction than what I saw the Godhead. But he still had this light in him, or this lighted being. So this is what he's describing, and this is what we were seeing, and it's hard to describe that. This whole throne is just engulfed in this brightness, and you're trying to, like, wow, how can the person stand in that? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. In chapter 8 of Ezekiel, there's another telling of this vision that Ezekiel had. Ezekiel, verse 1, and in the sixth year, 8:1, of the captivity of King Jehoiakim, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, a captive of the Babylonians with the elders of Judah, sitting before me, the hand of the Lord fell upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of a man with the appearance of fire. From his waist downward, he was like fire, and from his waist upward, he had the appearance of brightness like gleaming bronze. And in the first scripture that I showed you, it talked about that bow that he saw that he sat under. So I truly was transported, at least into me and Ezekiel were having the same kind of example or description of what we saw in the spirit there in God. Turn to John 9:31. And you see, I'm almost done. You guys can, you're so attentive here. Thank you for listening. Now, we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. So God hears worshipers. Amen? God is a supernatural being, and he hears worshipers. In John, the fourth chapter, this is all our foundation for singing in the spirit here. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you had only known and had recognized God's gift and who it was that is saying to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water. Remember that Jesus had walked to meet the Samaritan woman at the well, and you know, he said, give me to drink, and he said, well, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me to give you a drink. Why is that? Ooh. Jesus, down in verse 13, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again, talking about the water from the well, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore, but the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him into for eternal life. The well of life that Jesus gives us springs up into eternal life. You will never thirst again. You know, so I know sometimes we talk about being thirsty after God and hungering after God and desperate for God and, oh, God, I want you. And we do want God. But just know this. He always fills us if we ask. He will fill you. This is our heart's desire. This is our the way that we want to posture ourselves on Sunday mornings when we come to worship God. We want to be thirsting for more of him. Yes, I was at home, and I was in my prayer time. And yes, the Spirit of God was there, and I was communing with him in the word. That was great and wonderful. But when I come into the sanctuary, I want more of him. Why? Because he is an infinite being. There's no way we can learn everything that we ever possibly can while we're on the earth. We can know more and more and more and more about him. Now, I know in our flesh, in our bodies, that we can get to a place where, oh, man, I'm tired of hearing that Spirit of God. It's just too much for me. I'm over him. You know, we can, in our flesh, we can kind of get that way. And I'll tell you why we get that way in our flesh. Because the glory of God, if you look in the definitions about the glory of God, God's presence, who God is, is heavy on us. So when you get into the presence of God, sometimes it just feels heavy. A lot of times you go to sleep. Come on now, be amen, witness to, come on. You're praying, the next thing you know, you're waking up because you fell asleep, and it's okay. God's not mad at you. It's the glory is heavy on us, and sometimes we're not prepared for it to overtake us when it does like that. And sometimes we need to sleep. Sleep is good. Sleep is a good thing. Don't ever, you know, get mad or condemn yourself for falling asleep. Just say, God, forgive me. Next time, I'm going to stay awake longer. Remember his disciples when he asked them to pray for, and he was transfigured on the mountain, and he came down, man, couldn't you just pray with me an hour? And they were asleep because of the weight of the glory. I mean, just to be in God, in his presence, when you kind of think what your flesh has to go through in order to withstand the presence of God. Now, I can give you all examples about that glory and the presence of God. You can, when hands are laid on you, you can't stand, you fall and be aflame in the Spirit. There are times when people are overtaken by the Spirit of God. They can't, lack of a better word, they can't control their feet, and they begin to run, or they begin to jump or spring. They're dancing in the Spirit, where they're overtaken by the presence of God, and their bodies just kind of go along with it. You know, so these are ways in which you can kind of think about that God has come in a great way in that person's life. We should all desire that, because that breaks the yoke of bondage out of our life. If you've got something that's lingering and you can't get rid of it, you need an experience with the Holy Ghost of God. You need that experience. You need to hunger for it. You'll say, oh, you need to come up here every time there's praise and worship, and you need to just like, God, please, I need to get out of this. My wife, by way of testimony, I know she probably won't think I should share this. Early in our life, she was depressed, and she could not get this depression off of her. And it was days and months, I'm going to say months, it wasn't years, but months, that she walked in this depression. And I would speak, you know, I'm just bubbly, and I probably make her mad because I'm just preaching to her, you know. Get up in the name of Jesus. Loose, be loose. No, anyway. So, but a connection, she catch every time there was prayer, every time that they were talking about, you know, the Spirit of God is here, she would go up for prayer. I mean, it was many services that she went up for prayer. But one, and all it takes is one. All it takes is one. Time being obedient. She came up, the man of God laid hands on her, and the depression was gone. Wow. I don't think I've ever seen that depression come back on her in now 34 years of marriage that we've had. And that's seeking after God for something that you need. Now, who knew that she was praying? Nobody really knew, probably just me and her, you know, because she's a very easygoing person. And so nobody has to know. And some of you probably like that today. You know, you're probably suffering from a broken heart, something that has occurred to you in your past that you can't get rid of. I want you to know that Jesus has your number. And if you would call on him, he can break the yoke. Okay, let me get back over here, because that's somewhere else we want to be. We don't want to be there. Verse 13 in John chapter 4. Oh, I read those. Did I read those? Okay. Jump down to verse 20. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it is necessary and proper to worship. Jesus said to this woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. You know what you do not comprehend. We do know what we are worshiping. This is talking about the Jews. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand, for after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. A time will come, however, indeed, is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth, reality, for the Father is seeking such, just such people as these as his worshipers. Time is coming, his now is. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. I know that we want to believe that God is just a man like us. That Jesus was just a man, but he's no longer just a man. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth and in reality. It's trying to talk really who he is. God is a spirit. And he said certain things unto us. He's filled this Bible with promises galore. And I'm telling you, there is not one place in there where he said something that he would do that he will not do. There's not a place in the world, you won't find a place in here where God said, I'll do something for you, and then he reneged on it. There's not one place in here. Now, it's so much in here, now all of us can't know it all, you know, as far as the word of the Logos word, the written word. But the parts that we need shared with us by the Spirit of God, who teaches of all truth, those are the words that we need. Those are the things that we want to hold on to. Those are the things where we want the revelation of him to come alive in us. Because those are the things we need. Need for what? Need for our life sustenance, for us to be alive, for us to do the ministry of reconciliation, for us to be the worshipers that he has called us to do. That's all you need to know. I know we hunger, we want to know, I want to know everything, but just know what God, the Spirit of God is teaching you. Be involved in what he wants you to know. Make him the purpose for your life. Make him the goal setter, so to speak. Father, what goals are you going to set for me this year or this month or this week? Let him be the one that's kind of leading you in that way. And he may be, these other folks may be enjoying some other revelation that you may not have yet. And you may be wanting to do that. But I want to encourage you, go where the Spirit of God is leading you. The heart that he is speaking to. Let go that place. And I'm guaranteeing you won't be disappointed when you begin to be led by his Spirit and all those things. So God the Spirit, he that worship him must worship him in spirit. So 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, gives us a very good teaching about speaking in tongues and about the organization or the construction of a worship service. You know, if your people are using their gifts and there's this disorderly kind of way and they're kind of jumping up and they're speaking in tongues or doing all this kind of stuff, that there should be some order to that. But there are nuggets in that passage that kind of lets us know that speaking in tongues is okay. There are two types of speaking in tongues, right? There's the kind that's out in a sanctuary where you speak out in a tongue and there's an interpretation that goes along with that. And then there's your personal prayer language with God. And it's personal because it's between you and God. It's that thing that transports you into that throne room where he is when you begin to pray. And it comes out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're already born again. The light is already in you. The Spirit of God is already there. He's just wanting more control of you, really. You know, we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to transform our thoughts and our minds, right? We're supposed to bring it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. Because we know that this is a battleground for the enemy, our thought life. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can put all kinds of word in our mind that can attack the enemy when he comes and says crazy things to you. And he says some crazy stuff. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was in that same prayer spot in the apartment in our apartment when we were early in our life. I can't think of where we were. We were in Shawnee, and apartment. I was in the living room. I was on my knees, and I was yearning for the Spirit of God, and I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to have this evidence of speaking in tongues. And so I was there, and all of a sudden, I felt him bubbling up, and out of my mouth came Isa Boborabasha Karamada Sacha. In that very split second, the enemy came, "You better be quiet, because you are cursing God." And I said, "Oh, I shut up." I fell over and I wept because I was like, now I'm just lost because I don't know what to do. What? Why did that happen? Why did that? Because I'm trying to renew my mind, right? I'm trying to get him out. I'm trying to get the enemy out, but he was still there and kind of gave me that little, his little nugget, that little darkness came through. And I had to read up some more to realize that he cannot enter in to the light where I was. Now that thought came out of my body, my flesh, my trained fleshly body. But where I was in the spirit when I was speaking in tongues, he could not enter in. He had no clue what I was saying, nor did he have any idea what was going on. As a matter of fact, he was confused. Remember the scripture in John tells us that the darkness can't comprehend the light. The light has come, the darkness comprehended it not. The devil cannot comprehend what is going on in your prayer life when you begin to speak in other tongues or in language. You are, in essence, praying in a language that only you and God understand. And if you think about that, that is a perfect prayer. Right? It is coming out of your spirit, going to God's spirit, and it is really, you know, God using you to get forth or to move forth what he wants you done in your life, and nothing else can take place in that. He can give you the interpretation of that in the morning when you pray, but definitely he can move on your heart. So we want to know that we can do this. We can have our hearts controlled by the Spirit of God. So back to Ephesians where it talks about singing in the Spirit and to one another, the hymns and songs and spiritual hymns to the Lord. So these are some foundations that we want to know and understand and believe before we can begin to do this. So I want you to help me in this demonstration. I know time is long, and we'll be going home in just a few minutes. But I want to have your obedience and attention just for a few seconds. All right? Over in this section, now I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Now don't be embarrassed. I want you to sing a word. The word is hallelujah. And I want the word from you to go like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all you have to do. Hallelujah. Can I hear you say that? Not you. Just this section. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, keep that in mind. Just don't sing anymore. All right, in this middle section, I want you to follow this, the same word, and I want you to go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Not a lot of women over here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Over in this section, I want you to go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep singing. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 I forgot. Hallelujah. 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 I think I was saying hallelujah. Come on, sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Picture this, you're singing a word unto God that says, Lord, you're the glory of all, you're the Lord of all. And in that praise, God builds a habitation, a house, a presence, if you want to call it that, in that praise. And it's as simple as that. Now, you add music and musicians, and you add those who have flowery verses and men who have verse, lows, and they begin to sing out of their spirit, what God wants them to say. Well, and it doesn't have to be that one word. It could be any word. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you for this, thank you for that. We are singing in the Spirit. You say, well, how can you say that? Because you are born again, born of the light. And you told me earlier, you were full of the Spirit of God. It's as simple as that. I know you say, what the? He's doing this. This has got to be some sacrilegious kind of thing going on. What is it? I'm trying to get you to the place where God wants us, because he says that he's a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit. And then you must begin to sing it and do the thing that you know that he wants you to do. Worship him. So when the music is going and your tone, and I know a lot of you were embarrassed about that, can be covered and masked by, you know, the sound of the drums and the piano, God wants you to sing. And we sometimes get to a place where there's just music playing, and that's when he wants you to come out of your shell and begin to worship him. So the next step is while you're doing that, and I encourage you in your quiet time, the time that you have with God, your time that you, when you're praying and you're giving him glory in the morning, that you begin to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, yeah, you made that sound, you sound terrible, Kurt. I don't care how it sounds. I'm praising and worshiping God. And before you know it, if you are full of the Holy Ghost, before you know it, the same melody structure, the same whatever, your interpretation was that was hallelujah. Well, that's what you're singing back to God, hallelujah. Now, you can get fancy and go off as much as the Spirit of God wants you, because sometimes he then takes over your vocal cords and over yourself. And in that place, he creates a presence of God. I know sometimes when you go to some people's houses, you go visit, if you walk into the house of a person who has been doing that, you can immediately sense the presence of God, because that Spirit of God, he dwells and he embeds everything. Right? God is the creator of everything, every structure, chairs, carpet, walls. He embeds all that stuff when he begins to let his glory abide in a place. It's the most wonderful thing you ever want to experience. And when a congregation, and I implore you, Tristone Christian Center, I implore you, with all that's within me, that you begin to allow God to be released in singing in the Spirit. I know my time is up, and I wanted to give you that very simple instruction, you know, of singing in the Spirit, so that you can know that you can do it. Now, I know some of us want to be caught up in the Spirit and feel something. I had to feel goosebumps before I began to worship God. Or, you know, feel like there's, I don't know, my leg was crippling or something. You know, whatever the hell, you know. But you know, because you are, remember, this is what you are. You are already born again. You already have the light of God in you. Do what children of light do. Praise and worship God. Amen. Begin to open your mouth and praise and magnify the Lord, for he is worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. We magnify the name of the Lord. He is great. He is great and mighty. Oh God, we magnify your holy name. Zanda la lomba ineno. Gita da na si bandamburu romandande la da barada surraboto. Gide le masa. Uba una ira la ira lo 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 so. Disana masomele. Hallelujah. You guys have been great. I know that you are going to begin to do this. And we're going to be encouraging that the praise team has been ready and set to do this. And I've been talking to them and over again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because God, I'm telling you, is going to infiltrate us. I don't care how long you've been here before. I want you to know this. Your pastor is a crazy man. I hope that's on the tape. He is crazy for God. And I'm telling you, he is only waiting on us. He is only waiting on us. And we need to get into the Spirit of God where we're yearning for him in that presence. Now, I may not see some of you again. You know, I went to that church and he talked on Spirit. I don't think I want to go back there again. So, because of that, if you're here and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are desiring to have a closer walk with him, I want you to raise your hand, and we will definitely pray with you to be received into the kingdom of God and be part of the family of God. And you can have this baptism of the Holy Ghost and this evidence of speaking tongues. Anybody? Everybody in here saved. All right. It was offered to you, so don't go back and say you didn't have the opportunity. Now, if you are wanting more of the Holy Ghost, you want to have this evidence of speaking in tongues, if you haven't had that experience yet, and you want that now, you've been, as I've been talking, God's been talking to you. You know, we have people here, and we can come up right now, and we will lay hands on you to be filled. The Bible tells us all you have to do is ask, and Jesus will give you. He won't give you a stone, I think the scripture tells us, but he'll give you what you ask, the Holy Ghost.